And Corn Pop was a bad dude.
And this is the dude with the news, according to me. Corn Pop was a bad dude. That's probably one of the most coherent things that Joe Biden has said recently. This is Friday already, May 28th. As you know, earlier yesterday morning, I said that there would be a show in the afternoon. Did I say that afternoon, or did I just say tomorrow afternoon? I didn't really specify which afternoon that was going to be, I don't think. Well, now it is Friday morning. In fact, the morning's almost over. It's 10:44 on Friday morning, May 28th, 2021. This year is almost over. Where has it gone? I digress. No, I don't think it's quite over yet. Yes, we have a Joe Biden who seems to be continuing to decline. And I might get into that a little bit later, some of the things that he's been saying, things that are happening. But initially, I really want to get right into this. The whole thing I want to get into for initially first is the fact that I have Chick-fil-A sweet tea here in my hand. Because it's, you're not kidding me. I know everybody tunes in just to find out what I'm drinking. What's in that cup? In fact, the Tea and Anatomy Singers. In fact, the Tea and Anatomy Singers. They have a little song coming up later on today. By the way, and they were in the office here. They were doing a little bit of mixing and recording. They're going to go on tour soon, so they're busy. And they were doing a little song thing, and they're gonna have a little song thing for you later. They are working on also on another song about the cup, so there will eventually be one of those. And that's an interesting thing I saw the other day. I was watching speaking of Q, not to take a left turn here. Yeah, that's what I thought. That's interesting. The other day, there was a guy that who was selling survival equipment on at a show, at a like a trade show, and I saw this guy. He was on in a video, and his email address, he was ex-military guy. Excuse me, and. He had this, he was like big time military guy. He'd been in all kinds of aviation stuff, flying all kinds of helicopters, Apaches, and all kinds of things. And very disciplined individual, you could tell. Extremely disciplined individual. Was big in search and rescue. He was retired from the military. He was like in his 40s, probably upper 40s. Retired from the military, and he had this little booth where he was selling all kinds of survival equipment. Now, having said that, he also, he had an email address. And this was like in 2015, 2016. This was before the whole Q movement thing came out. The whole Q conspiracy, the QAnon thing. Was going on. And his address was some, whatever it was. I can't remember what the first part of his address was, but I noticed that it was, you know how they have that at whatever, Gmail or whatever. His was at Q, the letter Q.com. So I tried to look for this just now, just because I just happened to think about it. And when you type in Q.com, for some reason, now obviously there has to be an underlying web platform to have a Q.com. Well, it takes you straight to Quantum Fiber. So I don't know if this guy has his internet service through this Q service. It's quantum fiber, but it takes you to fiber.q.com/fiber/s/welcome. So I don't know what's going on with this. The quantum fiber app is coming soon. I don't know why quantum fiber. So I don't know. Apparently they're getting speeds up to, it looks like up 900 Mbps. I mean, the speeds up to 940 Mbps. That's lightning fast. That's ridiculously fast. That's 4K streaming fast stuff there. High rendering speeds. So there, you know, I don't know what that's about. So I don't, maybe he just has his internet, you know, that's just his ISP and it's I don't know. I probably can't get it where I'm at, I'm sure, because I don't have fiber. Fiber optic network, I'm assuming. But this looks like it's got cell phone here. I don't know what's going on. It's got his phone, it's got his tablet there. So I don't know. Claim my offer. I'm sure they serve me here because I can't even get Comcast here. Anyway, I digress from this. This was just a side note. I was getting all sidetracked from my side notes. There's some really, I want to talk about this whole thing with the Wuhan lab. Because this really bothers me. And Not why you think it might. I'm not bothered by the fact that the news media now, all of a sudden, after attacking Trump over saying these things, that they are now saying the same things Trump was saying. That's disturbing enough as it is. I mean, they were booting people off of Facebook, Twitter, all kinds of platforms, YouTube. If you talked about the Wuhan lab being the place where this all started. No, it came from a bat in a wet, in a wet, whatever. Wet market. Where they sell live animals and stuff that's barely dead. Stuff that shouldn't be eaten. My opinion. And so it's disturbing. The reason it's disturbing is because now they want us to forget the way they treated people, and especially Donald Trump. When he came out and said that he knew that this potentially was probably came from the Wuhan lab, but he could not divulge the sources and he couldn't say anything more. Basically, the intelligence community said, we cannot divulge this because it will potentially reveal sources and methods and endanger people inside the Wuhan lab. My guess is that there's some insiders there working there. Probably people working, possibly some people who are tattling on what the Chinese are doing there. Now, having said that, the thing that makes this most disturbing to me is the fact that the American people, and apparently a lot of the people on the left, have forgotten this or are so out of touch that they have no idea that this, you know, when Trump was being ridiculed and lambasted, they were the ones who were echoing it probably on Facebook. They were the trolls that would get on there and say, yeah, you're an idiot, you're crazy, you're nuts. And now that they're finding out that it is, well, Trump's still, you know, Trump's still crazy and you're still an idiot and you're blah, 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 blah. Now they're blaming Trump for us not knowing that it came from the Wuhan lab. Because he was so uncredible. He wasn't credible enough to believe. We couldn't believe him because he was telling so many lies. No. You kept telling us he was telling lies. And you told us, even in that case, when we find out that he wasn't telling us a lie, that you said that was a lie. The reason you kept calling him a liar is because every time he opened his mouth, you said he was lying. They would say things like, without evidence, the president has said, or whoever it was, you know, like even Rush Limbaugh said it. Without evidence, Rush Limbaugh has said today that that he believes that the Wuhan lab it could possibly be. He wasn't saying emphatically. This is no different than when the MSNBC people have some unnamed sources have told us that this. The unnamed source, a lot of times when they didn't give you who that unnamed source came from, a lot of times it could come from somebody down in the basement in the mail room. Hey, can you make up a story for us? We'll have you be the source and we'll protect you.
Okay.
Here's $20,000. Thanks a lot. Or we'll promote you to head of the mailbag room. So this kind of stuff was going on. And here's the other side of it. One news organization would report something with anonymous sources, and another news organization would report it. And their source was the other news organization. And then they would corroborate that and say, well, we have corroborating evidence now because we have more than one news source corroborating this report. That's how ridiculous these people are. I'll tell you what, you tell me a story, and then I'll say I heard the story from somebody. And that way it'll say that it's more than two people have now heard the story. And then we can say now you have two sources. It used to be, there used to be kind of an unspoken rule in journalism. If you had a source, you had to back it up with another source before you'd go live with it. Or if you were, going to disclose it at all. You had to disclose that you only had one source. Well, they don't do that anymore. Now they ping-pong stuff back and forth so they have more sources. And doubly disturbing, I call it DD, doubly disturbing, is that the intelligence agencies also use this kind of tactic. And this is the whole dossier that was made by Michael Steele, that was put together, paid for by Hillary Clinton, paid for by the DNC, which is also, there were stuff on the servers of the DNC servers that were, and all the stuff in Hillary's emails that were had to be deleted, bleached bitted out of her servers. All that stuff was basically being put together. For the purpose of making things look bad, making Trump look bad. It was all phony information. And then, of course, they would corroborate that information in order to get a FISA warrant by saying that, yes, even or there are some news reports, some journalists have reported on this. That's our corroboration. Well, the reason the journalists were reporting on it was because the dossier was leaked. They ping-pong this stuff back and forth. James Comey almost gave this up. He almost gave this away. He was very close to it when he said that he had a meeting with the president, took notes. He was very disturbed by the meeting. So he took the notes from the meeting and gave it to a colleague with the intention of giving it to the press. Because, he's Mr. Ethical. He's a Boy Scout. So this is how slimy this guy is. He didn't feel it was right for him to give it directly to the press, so he gave it to someone else with the intention of them giving it to the press. This is the kind of backroom stuff that goes on at the high levels of some of the, in my opinion, compromised organizations in our country that is extremely disturbing to me. And it should be to everyone on the planet. Except for our enemies. Though they probably love this stuff. You see, these bureaucrats, they hang around. They stay there. And the leftists and the crazy wackos that want to subvert our... But there's some really good stuff. I might try to put together something this afternoon if I have time. By, I believe it was Edward G. Griffin. Is that it? I think it's G. Edward Griffin. Let me look this up. G. Edward Griffin. G. Edward Griffin. There it is. Well, that's his name, I guess. I think he may have been a part of or started the John Birch Society. And he had some interesting documentary type style stuff that he put together back in the late 60s. And talked about the communism, the leftists, the socialist mindset. I don't know if he's still alive or not. Let me see here. I'm going to try to find out here if this will take me to... where is it at here? Let's see what we got here. If we go to Wikipedia on this guy, I believe he might still be alive. Born, blah, 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 blah. He's 89 years old. He was born in 1931. November 7th, 1931, just a few days after I was born. I'm not as old as he is, but, actually, I'm actually older than he is. He's 89. I'm older than that. No, he was born in November of 1931. University of Michigan. Author, lecturer, filmmaker. Conspiracy theories. Now, he's known for conspiracy theories. Yeah, if you look into the things that he's talking about, that he talked about, they are like up front and in your face with this stuff today. They weren't conspiracy theories at all. He wrote his first book in 1964 called The Fearful Master of the United Nations. He was big. He was really against the United Nations. And I think he was very much involved in the John Birch Society. And I'm going to talk about it a lot right now, but I'll look into this more today and see if I can have, or at least within the next couple few days, next few shows, I'm going to try to... Now, here's the plan for shows. For those of you who are interested or who care, interesting thing that we're going to be doing here in the next few weeks, next week, I guess. The plan is to have a show, two shows a day next week, every day. That is the plan. And we'll see if this... we'll see if this works. I'm seriously planning on being home or being in the studio, being at work, not leaving the state at all next week. So that's my plan. So there will hopefully be a show this afternoon, but next week the plan will be to have two shows a day on schedule, and to try to get this ship turned around here. Get back on track. We've been missing a lot of shows, and I'm sure you've been missing it as well. So I hate to do that to you. Hate to do that to my folks, my peeps, my homies. Let's look at a few things here. We're gonna at the end of the show. We're gonna be looking at. Let's see here. You gotta do that. Gotta go there, and then we gotta go to the desk. Where's the slash desk? Let's go slash desk. There we go. Yeah, we're going to have some things later on from the desk of Donald Trump, see what he's been saying lately. Looks like his last update was on the 20th. So that's been a few days. It's been about a week since he's updated anything here. Oh, there, no, that was 28th. Okay, my page didn't refresh. Okay, there we go. So he's got some interesting comments. We're going to go over some comments from the desk of Donald Trump. And along with that, We may talk a little bit about today. We're going to talk a little bit about some of the other headlines that are out there right now. But one of the things that I think deserve covering right now is we do have this issue of the ATF. Joe Biden continuing to say that, oh no, we're not going to take guns away, not going to do anything like that, and of course they're probably the only guns they're not going to take away are maybe squirt guns, and they don't even like those. There are people who are afraid of airsoft guns hanging in the stores in the children's section. And I'm serious. They're like, it scares them to death to think that a high-powered handgun is hanging from in a store somewhere. And I have to say, airsoft guns look pretty real, but if you could read, you could read the package and find out that it's just an airsoft gun. It's like a BB gun, only less harmful. And apparently these people are scared of that. So, you have that going on, and then the ATF guy making the weirdest comments, and I wish I could have gotten some sound bites. Maybe this afternoon I'll have some sound bites, or in the next week. That's something we haven't had a lot of lately either. I haven't had a lot of sound bites. Haven't had a lot of stuff going on, which I know that is helpful to get context on some of the stories I'm talking about. Joe recently had an interesting roundtable, and the person moderating the roundtable. And the whole thing looked like a production out of some kind of a cheap, like, SNL script. I mean, SNL makes it look better. There was a show at our local career center here back in when I was a kid. It was called Beyond Our Control. And it was a small little production thing, 30 minutes. It was on Saturday mornings, I think, Saturday afternoons maybe. It's called Beyond Our Control, and it was produced in-house by the local career center. They would go in, and there was like these people who were trying to get a career in television, movie production, that kind of thing. And they would go in and produce these little skits. And it was actually really good. In my opinion, some of the people who probably went through the process of doing those things really learned a lot. Because it's one of those things where you kind of cut your teeth and you kind of get to have some local, feedback and it's fun kind of stuff. It was a little opportunity for students and kids to try to, college age, to be creative, write their own stuff, and try to see what works. And there was little opportunity for that back in the day. Now everybody can get a camera. Now everybody's got, if you've got a laptop, it's probably got a camera in it, and you can be a YouTube star. Just, like me. And, back in the day, though, that was not that easy. We had three channels, basically three or four. This was on public television, so it was local public television channel that you had to pick up with an antenna. I think we had the three major channels, then we had a public television channel, and then we also had a local televangelism station here in this area. It was a major player, big time hitter, big guy, well known, world known in this area that set up a broadcasting company, and also started a radio station as well. But he was big. It was 24 hours a day. It was on. I think they had some other shows. They play like Little Rascals and stuff in the afternoons for kids and stuff. But for the most part, it was all 24-hour televangelism stuff. And so they had that going on. So we had five channels basically. And they had this one called Beyond Our Control. And that's what, some of the productions that those guys did were actually better. I would say most of the productions they did were better than what this town hall meeting thing was with Joe Biden. And I think it was Joe Biden and Fossey. Now, Fossey, Fauci, whatever you want to call him,
Anthony.
This guy has, in my opinion, completely discredited himself. He will stand before Congress, he will stand before the Senate, he will stand before these people, and he will answer questions, and he'll give them information that is totally wrong. He'll wishy-washy, mealy-mouthed answers to things. And then within the next few days, he'll turn around and say something different. He'll completely contradict what he said. Now, this is, it blows my mind that he's continued to be lifted up as this wonderful savior within the leftist community. It blows my mind. And yet he has been so wrong on so many levels. Then we have, I can't even talk like her. I can't even bring myself to talk like her. Kamala Harris, the soon to be president of the United States. We have, it is so nasally. I without practicing for probably a year, I could not talk through my nose the way she does. I think she could probably actually talk through her nose with her mouth shut. There is so much tone coming through her nose that if she could put her nose, what are those little things, flaps, little flaps called on her nose? There's no name for it right there above your philtrum. If she could probably pronounce words with her nose. Because there's so much tonal, so much of her tone, her vocal tone, comes out of her nose. And it is absolutely worse than fingernails on a chalkboard for most people. Now, I can do the fingernails on a chalkboard thing. It doesn't bother me. But I don't know why. It never has. I saw a kid do it one time in class, put his fingers up on the chalkboard. This is back when we had chalkboards. I grew up in a day when we had chalkboards. Now, we didn't have the little personal slates. My parents had those. Back in their day, kids would have a little slate. It was like an iPad, but you had a piece of chalk, and it was like a piece of slate, like a piece of coal. And you wrote on it. You'd kind of chisel into it with your chalk. Teacher would ask a question, like a math question. What is 2 + 3? And everybody would write their answer down on there. And she'd ask for them to put their slates up, and everybody hold their slates up, and everybody had a 5, except for me. I had a 6 or a 10, because I thought the higher the number, the better the score. So they had I didn't have the chalkboard thing. I had the chalkboards. We had the big chalkboards up front. She would call us to go up front to do a problem. They would say, okay, pick up the chalk. Write down a 3, and then put 3 + 2. What's your answer? And then I would say, I have to go to the bathroom. Can I be excused? I was told there'd be no math. So I would have those problems. Now, actually, Math was pretty easy for me. School in general was not easy for me. Math, I could have excelled extremely at math because it's racist, apparently. But no, I could have excelled extremely at math if I would have had a more focused and disciplined upbringing within the school system. First of all, I was extremely young when I started, and that kind of carried through the rest of my academic career. I wouldn't focus at all. And I think it was because I was just too young. I was immature for what they were trying to teach me. It was not up to the level. They never talked about holding me back because when they would squeeze me for something, I could come through and pass. You know, but I couldn't engage academically. Now, if you gave me a hammer and a nail and a saw and something like that, I'd love that stuff. So shop class and band and automotive. We had an automotive class back in the day. Electronics. That was kind of fun stuff. I could get into that. But algebra. Now, and the reason I know I could have done well with math is because one year I had in seventh grade, I had a teacher. Now listen up to this. Some of you teachers out there, listen up to this. I did terrible in math. Well, in general, English was really bad. I didn't get this whole dangling participle thing. I didn't understand that at all. I could not get it. Now, I can look at a sentence and tell you it's wrong. Now, like the grammar is way off, and I can tell you all that stuff. I can figure that out. However, I don't know if there's any absolutes in English anymore. They're probably going to do away with English altogether at some point. They've done away with cursive in a lot of schools, and which I think is ridiculous. But some of the schools that tried to take it away have taken it back, have brought it back now because they realize kids need to know how to write. You need to know how to sign your name at least. So in seventh grade, I had a teacher. I remember his name. I'm not going to say his name. He was an extremely quiet individual. He didn't yell at the kids. He never got upset. He never got red in the face. He would simply tell you if you didn't get your homework done, you would be standing in the back of the class. Or if you didn't answer the question properly. If you got three questions wrong, you had to do something, whether stand up or do something. Usually just standing up in the back of the class. I remember the thing was standing up in the back of the class. And it was very embarrassing to the kids. Kids didn't want to stand up in the back of the class. Some kids were so irate, they told their parents, and their parents actually got involved, said, "You're not going to make my child stand in the back of class." And you say, the child has to do is do their homework. They just have to turn in a paper. If they don't turn their homework in, they're standing in the back of the class. And it was so embarrassing for some kids that they really, struggled with it. Kids that I thought were pretty smart, that actually graduated the class way ahead of me. Way, way ahead of me. And I have to tell you, I never stood in the back of the class. I was so terrified of being in the back of that class, standing up or having to do one of the things that he would make people do if they didn't do their assignment properly or didn't turn it in. Whenever he asked a question from the front when we were working through a problem, me and two other people in that class had our hands up every time he asked a question. I got to tell you, I was focused and engaged on what was going on, and I got straight A's in that class. Perfect score. I don't think I ever missed a question. I may have missed one or two questions throughout my entire year, and that was probably because I just wrote it down wrong. And I just, it's one of those things where I just didn't. I don't know, just wrote it down wrong. Or chose the wrong, like, A, B, C, D, kind of on a, it's probably a, I don't know, I'm really bad with multiple choice. Believe it or not, multiple choice questions are usually the easiest ones. And I have a hard time for some reason. I'll look at it and say, yep, the answer is B, and I'll scratch in C. I don't know why I've done that so many times. Aggravates me. However, in eighth grade, math class. Now tell me the difference between seventh grade math and eighth grade math. There's no difference. It is virtually the same. You're not starting into algebra, at least back in my day. Now in ninth grade, you started into algebra and algebra 2 and algebra and trigonometry and geography. I don't know what all the offeries were. Lots of them. And we had a We had this eighth grade math teacher that I had, and she was very lax undisciplined and very just easygoing, no discipline. Whatever he wanted to do in class was fine. People were up walking around, combing their hair, doing all kinds of, I mean, which, you know, you think combing your hair, what's the big deal? Well, the big deal was I sat in the front of the class. And I knew when people in the back of the class were combing their hair. Because I was ADHD when I didn't know what that meant. They didn't know what that was back in the day. And I have an extremely weird learning. I wouldn't call it disability. It's just a learning difference. A difference in the way I learn. And I have learned to cope with that. Where I need to sit in class, how I need to sit, how I need to take notes in order for me to stay engaged. And it is not a traditional method. Let me just say that. And I still struggle. I still struggle with going through academic training. First, I don't like it, which is it's hard, very hard for me to get engaged in it. Some people just love it. I don't like to read. I don't like to. So the difference, but in my guess what my grade was at the end of my eighth grade math year, I got a D minus. Don't tell me it was because I couldn't do it. The whole difference was the teacher. Two different teachers, same subject, very little difference in the subject matter. So, for those of you out there who are teaching young kids, just consider that. Now, why I started into this whole story is unknown, because I can't remember why I started into this story. I was talking about Joe and all of his issues. But you know, that's the beauty of this podcast, is that it's about the news, but it's so much more. It's more about those life lessons that we learn that have nothing to do with anything. And I pass all that on to you. I bequeath it to you, because you need to have as much nonsensical experience as I've had in my life. So there you go. Here's what disturbs me about today. This is what disturbs me about all this stuff, is that the American people have been dumbed down and now have this memory that is apparently about 3 days old at the most. They're finding that with YouTube videos, it used to be that the average video was about 15 minutes long, because that was the attention span of most people. Our culture has changed just in the last 20 years since YouTube has kind of come about and the internet has done its thing. Now we have Twitter. You know, first we had Twitter, which you could only type in 140 characters or something. A tweet had to be 140 characters. And they expanded that a little bit, but it's still pretty small. Then there was TikTok. Now it's just a little, what is it, 10-second video? Whatever it is, whatever, it's just like little blurbs. And YouTube has gotten in on this now, too. You can have these little flash things. You just do really quick ones. And Facebook does the same thing. They added to their story. So-and-so added to their story. It's a little 30-second, little 10-second clip, whatever it's going to be. Now, you can stretch it out, you can put multiple clips together. But they're finding now that the average attention span is less than 3 minutes. If your video is going longer than 3 minutes, it better be some kind of content that people want to hear, because they're probably not going to hear it. And as I look at all my subscriptions and I look at the videos that are on here right now, a lot of these are based on, they're almost like little mini documentaries, like things about, I like to watch a lot of news clips, things that are going on. Most of these are between 2 and 4 minutes long. Now, there are some that are more episodes of, people doing things in life, like sailing or whatever they're doing, traveling RVing, camping. Some of those will go on, 17 to 20 minutes. Unlike this show that goes on for hours with no commercial interruptions, no craziness, nothing like, nothing really wacky and crazy. Except for, once in a while, some crazy things like, maybe like this, something like this. We'll see what it is.
From the desk of Donald Trump, from the desk of Donald Trump, from the desk of Donald Trump, to you, my friend, from the desk of Donald Trump, from the desk of Donald Trump, from the desk of Donald Trump, to you.
From the desk
of Donald Trump.
From the desk of Donald Trump, here we are. That was the TNA to Me Singers. The News According to Me Singers came in, recorded a little ditty for all you folks. All you folks out there in Diddy Land. They worked long and hard on that. I hope you appreciated it. Because we're gonna dive into this. It's that time of the day. It's that time of the show. It's gone on long enough here with me rambling on. We're gonna talk a little bit about some things here that Donald Trump has said. Now we're gonna go back. Let's go back in time. Yeah, you're experiencing these with me at the same time I'm experiencing them. So I'm just reading them as they come. And let's start here. Let's look at what is today? Today is the 28th. Let's go back in time, shall we? Much like Art Bell, somewhere in time. We're going to go back into, let's start off with Monday. Let's see what he had to say on the 24th, which is Monday, right? And I think it is. Yeah, I think I got that right. Let's go back here. That is the 25th. I have to go back. Let's just go back to the bottom of the page. The 25th. This is the 25th. There's plenty here on this page. We'll probably won't get through it all. Donald Trump, 9:54 a.m., May 25th, 2021. A new poll, I think this is IPSOS and Reuters poll, Reuters. Beliefs among Republicans shows 53% believe Donald Trump is the true president. And then he has in parentheses here, I always knew America was smart. 2020 election was tainted, 56%. And the election was stolen and rigged, 61%. That's beliefs among Republicans. Now, here's an interesting fact. This is my commentary, by the way. There are a lot of Democrats who fall into this category as well. In fact, I call them Republicrats because there are a lot of Democrats in this country who are Democrats. They think that they're born a Democrat. They think it's like their culture. They have to be a Democrat because their parents were Democrats. Their parents' parents were Democrats. They have to be Democrats. But they don't agree with anything on the Democrat platform. They just think that they were born that way. They were born into a Democrat family. They have to be Democrats. Interestingly enough, it's weird, but they don't think they can change. Well, I would be ostracized from my family or whatever. I don't know. And a lot of them are moving to Florida. Ron DeSantis just made a comment the other day. I saw in a headline. He said a lot of Democrats are moving to Florida because they don't like what's happening in the Democrat Party. All right, here we go. Donald J. Trump, 11:35 a.m., May 25th. This is just about an hour later. Hour and a half later on 2021. Now everybody is agreeing that I was right when I very early on called Wuhan as the source of COVID-19, sometimes referred to as the, you got it, that's my commentary, China virus. To me, it was obvious from the beginning, but I was badly criticized as usual. Now they are all saying, quote, he was right. Well, they're not all saying that, sir. I hate to tell you this. They're not saying you're right. They're just saying what you were saying. They won't come out and say Donald Trump was right. They're just saying, oh, look, it looks like the Wuhan lab may have been the source of the COVID-19 virus. Oh, they're not saying that you were right. They're not bringing up your name. But they're just, you know, bringing up what you said. 4:25 p.m., May 25th, 2021, 45th President Donald J. Trump will be interviewed tonight at 9 p.m. Eastern Time on Newsmax TV by Steve Cortez for the Cortez and Pellegrino show. I don't know what that is. Tune in to see Donald Trump. Blah, 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 blah. Wuhan Laboratory, blah, blah, blah. He talks about a lot. I didn't see that interview, by the way. Then again, 6:10 p.m., May 25th. Thank you to the Washington Examiner newspaper for covering the forensic audits for the 2020 presidential election, the most corrupt election in the history of our country. Read and study it carefully. It's not fake news. So apparently the Washington Examiner put out something about the 2020 audits. Now, there's something going on, and this is again, I still don't quite understand what's going on out in Arizona. The firm that was doing the auditing, apparently their contract has run out. There was a limited time contract and it ran out. Now, the legacy media made it sound like they gave up, they walked out, they quit. No, that's not what happened. Their contract ran out. They were only contract, and they didn't realize this issue with the scheduling issue that they had initially. And one of the problems that they had with getting the number of ballots counted that they need to get counted, one of the issues there was that they had an extreme vetting process for these people to be brought in, to be put on in the counting booths. And in that process, it took a lot of time. It took a lot more time than they had planned on, which made the whole thing, which meant they had fewer people available to count the ballots. They had plenty of space, not enough people. And they ended up running long, and that ran into this whole scheduling conflict with the graduations that were going on out in this arena that they were doing this thing in. So they had to pack everything away and then pull it back all out. Now they have about twice the tables they had before. So they got a lot of these people were now vetted at the counters again. However, the firm involved in it somehow, I think the head firm, I don't know if it's the Cyber Ninjas or if it's somebody else. Apparently, their contract ran out and they're not renewing it. For why, I don't know. Now, here's an interesting post. This was 8:30 p.m. on May 25th. This was Tuesday evening. This is a continuation of the greatest witch hunt in American history. It began the day I came down the stairs, down the escalator in Trump Tower, and it's never been stopped. I'm sorry, I'm putting words in this thing. They wasted 2 years and $48 million in taxpayer dollars on Mueller and Russia, Russia, Russia. Impeachment hoax number one, impeachment hoax number two, and it continues to this day with illegally leaked confidential information. Now, what they're doing is they're going after him in New York, trying to indict him. They know if they can get him on a federal indictment and have him convicted, he can't run for president. This is the whole reason they're doing this. They are terrified of him coming back and running for president again. As he continues, no other president in history has had to put up with what I've had to. And on top of that, I have done a great job for our country. Whether it's taxes, regulations, our military, veterans, Space Force, our borders, speedy creation of a great vaccine, said to be a miracle, and protecting the Second Amendment. This is purely political and an affront to the almost 75 million voters who supported me in the presidential election. And it's being driven by highly partisan Democrat prosecutors. New York City and state are suffering the highest crime rates in their history. And instead of going after murderers, drug dealers, human traffickers, and others, they come after Donald Trump. Interesting that today, a poll came out indicating I'm far in the lead for the Republican presidential primary and the general election in 2024. Our country is broken. Our elections are rigged, corrupt, and stolen. Our prosecutors are politicized. And I will just have to keep on fighting like I have been fighting for the last 4 or 5 years. Interesting. Wednesday, 10:48 a.m., May 27th, 2021, from the desk of Donald Trump. With Memorial Day weekend coming up, tomorrow people start driving in the biggest automobile days of the year. I'm sorry to say the gasoline prices that you will be confronted with are far higher than they were just a few short number of months ago, where we had gasoline under $2 a gallon. Remember, as you're watching the meter tick and your dollars pile up, how great of a job Donald Trump did as president. Soon Russia and the Middle East will be making a fortune on oil. And you'll be saying how good it was to have me as your president. This is a little bit, this is again his ego kind of pushing through again, as usual. Wasn't it great to be energy independent? We are energy independent no more. Shame, shame, shame. Other than that, have a great Memorial Day weekend. I would like to say something about this. Right now, demand for gas is very, very low because of the whole COVID thing, you know, basically shut us down for a while. We're actually in a glut, and we actually got to a negative number on oil prices. And if you knew what was going on, it could actually have been, if you were involved in it at the time, you could actually have made a fortune on oil, right in that point. Some people did. Now, as demand keeps, the country has sold thousands of RVs, recreational vehicles, travel trailers, motorhomes. The RV industry, the first time it took a big, huge hit back in the 80s, 70s and 80s, huge hit, the late 70s, early 80s, because of the energy crisis. People were not paying for gas. Gas prices went up. They doubled, basically. All of a sudden, the RV industry just went tank. They just bellied up. People weren't buying them all of a sudden. They didn't want to pay for the gas. The country runs on fuel. And this is, again, now right in the last, because of the COVID, everybody was buying RVs. They have orders out to the end of next year, 2022. Here's the problem. And, of course, if you own one, it's gone up in value. I have a used one from 1996. I have a motorhome. I bought it right before all this happened, just the fall before, in 2019. Yeah, the fall of 2019. Bought myself a motorhome, an old one, paid cash for the thing. And I used to work in the RV industry because I'm in that area. And everybody in this area probably has had something, some kind of a job that related somehow to the RV industry in this area. Most people. I got this thing, I paid cash for it. The guy was asking a lot more for it than what I paid him, but he was, you know, desperate to sell it. And I wasn't that anxious to buy it because I had a lot of work to do on it. And he misrepresented a lot of things on it as well. So don't think for a second that I cheated this guy. He didn't have to sell it to me. And I waved the cash in front of his face and he just went, okay. And I drove it off. Had problems right away. Right off the bat. Cost me $400 to get it home. But that's a whole other story. And I'm sure I'll tell it at some point. So I got this thing. Of course, I was familiar with RVs, and I could work on them and do things. I can't, you know, it has a diesel engine in it. Good old diesel engine in it. Didn't have terribly too many miles on it. And I got it in pretty good shape now. I got new tires on it. Got new batteries in it. Got the air conditioners running. Got the furnaces running. Got the whole system working pretty good. The oil changed, the transmission fluid changed, all this kind of all the little stuff. Got all that stuff done. It's up and running, ready to go. I've taken on a few fairly long trips, and it doesn't have a slide out. I don't like slide outs because it's a lot of maintenance over time. They can cause a lot of problems. Do it a lot of rattling and rolling along the way. Well, they're nice when you're parked somewhere, but they're not nice to own and drive and stuff. I just don't want one. I don't need that much space. I like to get out of the motorhome and go do things. So, I got the roof all repaired, got it all painted, resealed. I did all that myself. All that stuff's done. Now, if I went to sell that thing today, it would probably be gone in about a week. And I could probably sell it for twice what I paid for it. Probably more than that. more than twice, probably. I'm pretty sure, especially with the tires and everything I've done on it. So that's the kind of thing that just kind of happened. And I also had bought a boat right before all this happened as well. In fact, I bought the boat before I bought the motorhome. Boats have also gone off, just flying off the shelves. I don't know if they put boats on shelves or not. But boats are just selling like crazy as well. The reason is because people want to take their family and do things, and rather than going on, you can't really take them on vacations and go places because everything's closed. So they're taking them out in campers and they're taking them out in boats. So used boats, and as well as new boats and motorhomes, RVs, travel trailers, have sold like crazy. Well, those things all take gas to run, and now gas prices are going to be shooting up like crazy as the demand starts going back up again. As the country gets back to work, as we stop, just working from home, everybody's working from home all the time. As we stop doing that, and start working more and more from offices, as the airlines begin to pick up again, they're getting back to, I think we're at 55% now from where we were. And it will rapidly increase from there. Right, the flights are full. Flights are full, folks. It is tough to find a flight that doesn't have, that's not near capacity. And they, of course, they can't overextend themselves. They can't get back to, putting too many flights out there. And they have to ramp up to these numbers because they can't just all of a sudden start doing, once in a while they can add an extra flight. If it looks like things are being oversold and there's plenty of people to take the flight, they'll add an extra flight. Keeping the airplanes maintained, keeping everything in schedule, keeping the pilots and the flight crew and all those things going on that need to happen, all the maintenance that has to happen, all the baggage handling, all the stuff that is just pure magic to me, the way they do all that. Keeping all that going and ramping it up quickly is very difficult to do without overextending yourself and overspending. Even though they got billions of dollars to, take care of all that. So the industry, and it's coming out of the gate again. This is kind of like a restart on a motorcycle race, or like an Indy 500 car race or something like that. Everybody's all, the pack is all spread out after 20 laps. Well, then there's an accident, so they all start over again in the same position they were in, but a lot closer to each other. They don't start them, three laps back behind each other again. Well, I guess if they lap them, they have to make up those laps. But if they were, behind by a mile, but not quite a lap, well, now they get to start right behind the person again. So there is that whole crazy part of it. And now we're starting off with, the competitiveness of the airlines coming out of this whole thing. Who will be in a better position to come out of this whole process? There are some regional airlines that are going under. There are some some other airlines that are taking advantage of it because they were in a better position. There's same thing with the major airlines. Same thing's happening. It'll be interesting to see what kind of mergers take place or buyouts or what kind of things collapse. There's some new airlines starting up as well. Then you have the RV industries. They're basically being bought up and owned by several, by conglomerates now. And so people like Warren Buffett own huge parts of it, like Forest River, those kinds of companies. And the more conglomerated, the more centralized you become in the ownership of these, it's kind of like the big three auto companies. Same kind of thing. It's after a while, all of a sudden it starts to become, now they become too big to fail. If they fail, it has a bigger impact on that sector, that job market. So all those things are happening as the price of gas is going up, and they are all affected by the price of gas. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. Now, I could probably sell my motorhome and my boat right now, for both of them, for more than twice what I paid for them after fixing them up and things I've done to them. And maybe it would be a good time to do that. You just sell them, wait until the bottom tanks on all this stuff, and then buy the same ones back again for for half the price, probably. Now, there's a lot of people are financing these things. And I've been so totally opposed to financing. I've been a big proponent of the Dave Ramsey program. For those of you who don't know what that is, it's Dave Ramsey, get out of debt thing. Get yourself out of debt, stay out of debt kind of program. I'm a big proponent of that program right there. Because having understand now there's things to be said for using, it's called OPM, other people's money. If you have something where you can leverage that money and really make it work for you, and you can make money by, you know, if, say you can put an $100,000 investment into something and you're getting a dividend back from that investment of, you know, let's say $20,000 a year. Well, in 5 years, you know, that thing has paid for itself. Now you have a net worth of $100,000. If what you've invested in is continuing to be worth $100,000, if it hasn't depreciated to nothing, and now you're just have an income of $20,000 a year. Now, the problem with that is, what happens in that work sector, that job sector, that particular industry, if within that 5 years, something bad happens and it tanks. Now where are you? You know, it's one of those things where you just have to weigh out your options there. I'm a big proponent now of, and I've invested in a few things now, but I've invested with cash. I don't invest money in anything that's not at least intrinsic at some point, or that doesn't have some kind of appreciation value. It's a tough call. It really is. I get it. It's, you invest in an education, which is extremely ambiguous with regard to its value. It's one of those tough things. You just have to make that call. See how it goes, because who knows. But if I had to redo it again, if I could start my life over again, well, for the most part of it, a few of the decisions I made, I would definitely change. One of them was going into debt for a car. That was my initial thing that I did before I was even 16 years old. I took out a loan for a car. I had to have my parents co-sign for me. I had a part-time to get a part-time job. I had to start paying for that car. It's actually a Chevy Blazer, 1972 Chevy Blazer. Or maybe 71 or 72. I owned a 71 and I owned a 72. And I can't remember if the first one was a 72. I think the second one was a 71. The second one was a bigger mistake. But the first one was great. It was a great, great vehicle. I could have kept driving it for a long time. I didn't keep it. Before I even paid it off, I bought another car and took out a loan on that one. And I had a car loan for a long time after that. It kind of changed my... I had an opportunity at the same time I bought that car. I had an opportunity to buy a different car. I could have paid cash for it. It was a project car. I would have had to fix it up. But I probably would have been much better off with that car. And I would not have been in debt. Yeah. But, you know, who knew? I learned a good lesson there. But never again. Not going back that way again. Not going back into debt. So thank you very much, Mr. David Ramsey, for helping me understand all that. And it's amazing how your wealth increases once you understand those principles, the principles of actual owning something and having wealth. Things change drastically when you start to discipline your finances, not living outside of your means, not expecting to have something just because everybody else has it. and staying on track with those things. It is amazing to me. Because really, it to deny yourself for you know some things for a little while, and the next thing you know, those you know it absolutely changes your whole life. So, yeah, the show is going long. I'm talking a lot this morning, and I got a lot of stuff to do yet today. So, I want to thank all of you for listening, for subscribing, for participating in the show, and I'm going to try to have another show this afternoon. I know it's not far away, actually. This afternoon, it's almost 12 o'clock now here in Eastern Time. Got to eat some lunch. Got to get some other work activities done. And then possibly do a show. And I got a meeting to go to tonight. So I still have a lot to prepare for that. So once again, thanks for listening to all my stories this morning. I just had to dump all my life experience on you this morning. Not a whole lot about the news, but, you know, some reflection on some things. Maybe we'll talk more about the from the desk of Donald Trump here. Here's another one. Breaking news. Massive numbers of dead people voted in the 2020 presidential election. Far greater than anyone knew. Have a great night, everybody.